It is time for the Derek Shelton Show, brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you now, there will be soon. The Pirates manager is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Shelty, how are you today?
What's going on, guys? How are you today?
We're doing well. I think there's probably some difficult questions here with your club to go over. One of whom, and we've been over this before, Shelty, I know, but at this point, it's hard to decipher if any of your younger hitters have gotten better and how that doesn't go back to the hitting coach. What is the best case right now to back Andy Haynes when it really does seem like none of your younger hitters are progressing?
Well, I think our younger hitters have to progress. That's true. I mean, I think we're seeing, not only with the Pirates, but throughout the game, young players are struggling right now. And, you know, we have to continue to figure out how that translates to being better. I mean, our offense needs to be better. I mean, we're working on it, but, you know, I don't honestly think it's fair to cast the blame on one single person for that.
Why? Because that's it. I mean, that's his job description, is to make hitters better.
Yeah, and some of it, I mean, comes on, you know, the players too. We have to continue to make adjustments. We have to continue to work on things. And again, I mean, it's not just the Pirates where we're seeing young hitters struggle. I know it's, you know, the conversation because we're talking about the Pirates, but throughout the league, I think we're trying to figure out why guys, when they come from AAA to the big leagues, are having issues.
We talk about you know, generalities, but like a guy like Nick Gonzalez, who was hitting really well and now he's struggling a little bit. He's a younger guy. Obviously, he's still finding his way. You know, what do you as a manager and the hitting coach and everybody in your support system, what do you have to do, or how do you get a guy like that back on track? Because he's shown that he can actually do it. Now you just got to kind of get him back on track when he's a younger player, obviously. Just sort of, you know, talk a little bit through like what the process is like.
Well, number one, it's confidence. And I think right now, and like in Nick's case, he can't buy a hit in terms of everything he hits hard is caught. I mean, he hit the ball hard last night to Ellie Dela Cruz's backside, and he makes a good play and throws him out. You know, he hits a ball that probably a month ago falls down the left field line that Steer makes a nice play on. It just seems like when you're going through a stretch like this, everything you hit gets caught. So in Nick's case, I think it's just confidence, because we've seen him make the adjustment. We've seen him show the ability to hit the major league level. We're seeing after about a month and a half, that the league is kind of punching back and making adjustments to him. And now it's, you know, on us and on Nick to make that adjustment back.
Shelty, it's, you know, it's interesting with the whole thing that AAA, people feel like it's a bigger leap from there to the majors than it ever has been. You're talking about young hitters and how a lot of people are having that difficulty. And I wonder if that plays into somebody like Sawinski. Because as I watch him, I think as a lot of people watch him, it's really hard to make the case that he belongs in the majors right now. Are you not sending him to AAA because you feel like that'll do that? That won't help him? Or why is he still with you?
Well, I think some of it is that. I mean, as we've seen, AAA pitching is completely different than big league pitching. And I think your point there is right. It's the largest gap of any time we've ever seen. In Jack's case, we need Jack to get going. I would 100% agree with that. You know, we're working on that. Give him a little bit of runway. And then, you know, we'll have to make a decision on, you know, what we're going to do moving forward. But I do think the fact that AAA pitching is in a situation that it's so much different than big league pitching. And I think we've seen that. We've seen guys that have gone, and I'm not making this just about the Pirates, but in the game, we've seen guys in AAA that have, you know, in some cases dominated AAA and put up really, really good numbers. And then it's a situation where they come to the big leagues and they have struggled. So some of this is about learning how to hit at the big league level.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with Henry Davis this very season, that exact thing play out. So I guess the other question that comes up is why not give somebody like Gorski or Palacios or Peguero. You know, I think Peguero for Triolo, Gorski for numerous guys in your outfield, or Palacios. Why not
So let's go to Palacios first. I mean, we're working him back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy missed a ton of time, and he's only in like a 2.5 week back from where he's at. So okay. we have to give him more time. Peggy's case, like that one's a little bit harder for me because, you know, over the last month, Peggy's got some things that he's working on, you know, and we need to get better at. I mean, even looking at his numbers a little bit, there's room for improvement at the AAA level. So, you know, and I think Gorski is someone that is, you know, because of the year he's having this year, has entered the chat room a little bit. And at some point we'll have to make discussions, but Gorski has made strides.
Derek, this is more of a general question about hitting. But, you know, and this has been discussions and arguments that we've had with, you know, Joe and things. You know, league-wide, you said it's not just the Pirates, it's league-wide. Guys are struggling, especially younger guys hitting. Are there any discussions, and I mean in the industry, I mean among, you know, not just in the Pirates, this isn't specific to you because obviously you look at batting averages all across the league, but are there any discussions about maybe things that need to be done differently to try and develop hitters?
Well, I think the biggest situation that we're running into is the fact that the velocity, and I'm not talking about just velocity of the fastball, I'm talking about velocity of all pitches, and the ability to chase miss. I mean, if that pitcher has that, they're coming to the big leagues. You know, they're getting expedited to the big leagues. So because of that, we're seeing such a difference in Triple A pitching. I mean, even if you go back and look at 10 years, take the fastball out of it, like just the overall velocity of the fastball. But if you look at velocity of breaking ball, they're jumping up 7 and 8 miles per hour in 10 years. So everybody is chasing miss. Everybody's chasing the swing and miss. Everybody's chasing the punch out. And when those guys show that ability to do that in AAA, they're coming to the big leagues. So I think that's why we're seeing that disparity and gap between AAA and big leagues. Now, to your point, Paul, and I think it's a great point, and I really wish, you know, we could figure out the answer to it in the industry. And I think everybody's trying to figure out is how you end up developing to finish AAA hitters because of the fact that it's so much different. We definitely don't have an answer for it. And I mean, this is league-wide because we're seeing, as you guys pointed out, a lot of guys come to the big leagues that have had really good, you know, AAA numbers, and they're struggling at the major league level.
Yeah, the numbers are mind-blowing, really. Jason Stark just did a piece on this that Major League Baseball is on pace for the fewest doubles since before the 93 expansion, the fewest homers since 15, the fewest hits per game in a full season since 1968, which is unbelievable. He talks about all the different kinds of fastballs that guys have complete command of, the fact that nobody anymore can sit on a pitch when they're behind on the count anymore. He has Ty France, the guy from first baseman Mariners, saying the league is so hard right now. Pitchers are throwing hard with command and have three fastballs, sink, cut, fade, everything. So this is definitely a topic league-wide. There's no question about that, Shelty, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad you referenced that article, Stark, because I think that article was written about as well, and Jason's a good writer, about as well as can be written, and highlighted so many different things. Like the ability, I mean, and we have a guy that's at the top of the list in Skeens when you watch what he does with his fastball. You know, and that's a whole different level, I understand. But I think Ty France's point's right. It's gotten so hard to hit at this level. And then I think also highlighted in that article is talking about outfield defense, you know, which now people are being way more progressive because you can't shift in the infield about what they're doing with their outfielders, paying more attention to it. I mean, if you go back to the Rays series, I think the reason that we did not win the Rays series was because of Jose Siri. You know, I mean, Nick Gonzalez hit a ball in the gap, Jack hit a ball. I mean, he played defense that way. So I think all those points are coming in. I really wish Cook was on today because I could make a shot at the 1968. Because if we remember in 68 when they actually changed the mound, because Gibson ran out of 1-1-2 and McLean won 30 games. I mean, so we're going back to a historic date where we actually changed something in the game that's where we're at on an offensive level. So I think this is an industry-wide thing that we're trying to figure out in – You know, I don't have an answer for it. It's something that we're talking about. You know, I understand when people see guys that are struggling at the major league level that they just say, like, hey, these guys should come up from AAA, not just specifically to the Pirates, but in any. Like, you see a prospect, this guy should come up, this guy should come up. And then you look at their AAA numbers, and some guys aren't even dominating AAA. And then the guys that are dominating AAA and they come to the big leagues, they're still having trouble at the major league level. So it's a league-wide thing that we're trying to figure out.
Having said that, and to be fair, within that context, you guys are worse than almost anybody, and a lot of your hitters aren't just below average. They're among the worst in the league. I'm talking about Triolo, Taylor, Sawinski, Grandal, Olivares, and Hayes. So even within that context, you have guys who are struggling at a rare rate here. So I would imagine you would be first on board to get some outside help. Am I right about that? Do you expect Ben Cherington to get some people in here who can help you?
Well, yeah, and I think Ben's gone on record of saying, like, that we're constantly exploring and trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to make our offense better. I think the one challenge, and this is, again, an industry-wide challenge we're having and everybody talks about, everybody's bunched up right now in both leagues. And, you know, you guys know as well as I do that when everybody's bunched up, that the people that have players from the teams that are willing to trade, you know, those prices are going to be high. So I think as we continue to go through this process, it's going to be gaining the information, seeing what people want. But I think the fact that so many teams are bunched up right now, there's an opportunity for there to be a ton of buyers in a situation where normally, you know, at this time of the year, maybe there's four or five teams. But I think that's completely changed into a situation where it's 15 to 18 teams that are looking. And then the other thing on top of it is because – offense is the way you guys have outlined it. Everybody's looking for offense. So then the price of those the price of those hitters goes even higher.
Well, before you get to the point where you have, you know, some extra guys in here to help, what can you as a manager and your staff, and similar to what I asked you about Nick Gonzalez, I mean, how do you keep the general, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say attitude, but the confidence level, all that stuff, up in your clubhouse when you do have so many guys that are struggling, and there have been some games where it's just it feels like some of your guys are pressing. Like, I mean, how do you keep it a little bit light so that maybe, you know, a few of these guys get going, and then, as they say, hitting's contagious, and a few more get going, and then you go.
Yeah, well, I think number one, it comes back to being positive, as much as, you know, people probably don't like to hear that. Because these guys know they're scuffling, and it's not for lack of work. It's not for lack of trying. I mean, if we had an effort issue, then it would be, you know, something that would be more problematic in my mind. But as long as we keep working, and then, you know, from my end, we got to figure out a way to be creative, whether it's maybe we bunt more, we safety squeeze, we hit and run, we put guys in motion, however we can, you know, find ways to create runs. I think on the positive side is we've pitched really well, so we've kept ourselves in games. I mean, I know we didn't play well last night. We didn't pitch well last night. But that's almost kind of been the outlier over the last month, as well as we pitched. So just trying to find ways to, you know, win those really close games. I mean, over the past week or two, we've won, what, 2-1-0 games? We won a 3-1 game. So I think that's important, is just continuing to try to figure out little ways that we can win games.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Shelton, we opened the show today by saying it kind of feels like your season's at a crossroads here. There's a bunch of teams bunched up. You guys, you know, are win one, lose two, win two, lose two, that type of thing. You got some injuries, maybe some guys coming back from injuries. It just feels like this is the point where you're going to go one way or another. And I wonder if you agree with that.
Well, I don't know if I totally agree with that, because there's a lot of baseball left to play. I do think, you know, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, Stark, but I think we do have to play more consistent, you know, and I think we have to try to figure out a way, as we've talked about, to play more consistently offensively. But, you know, I think the thing that I'm looking forward to is getting back to full strength. I mean, we could, you know, be in the next, over the next month, our bullpen could get back to full strength with Bednar coming back, with Baruchy coming back. We're going to get Perez back during the during the Atlanta series. You know, Marco at some point's going to, I mean, he's throwing live BPs. So, you know, Joey Bart's out on a rehab right now. So we can be transitioning towards even, you know, without making external additions, just making additions by guys that we have on our roster right now.
How much personal pressure do you feel to win this season, Shelty? Do you feel like your job could be at risk if you don't have a winning record?
No, I mean, I feel pressure every day, and I think I should. You know, it's what this job's about. It's about winning, and it's about going out and getting better. So, I mean, for 5 years, I felt that pressure, and I think anybody that sits in this chair should. And if you don't, then you're in the wrong job.
Yeah. The interesting thing was when you start to get all of those guys back, we were trying to figure out, say you get, you know, Priester, Gonzalez, and Perez all back. I mean, would you consider a couple of them going to the bullpen to help your bullpen out?
I think we got to get there first. You know, I mean, Martin's coming back, and like I said, he'll be back in the Atlanta series. I mean, Quinn at some point this week should throw in a rehab game. Marco is still throwing live BP, so we're a ways away from, you know, that full group being ready. So until we get there, I don't know what we'll do. I mean, you know, hopefully David's in a situation where it's sooner rather than later. Barucci should be out on a rehab at some point this week. When we get to that point, I think we're going to have challenging decisions, but we're also going to have good decisions that will make us better.
Shelty, when you talk about the first 5 years on the job, the reason I would differentiate this year is I don't think people had, I don't even think internally, big expectations of the Pirates for your first 5 years. This was a total massive rebuild. I think this year is different. Am I correct that the internal expectation is different, maybe even to the point of playoffs or bust this year?
Well, I think the expectations are different. I think we saw this as a year that we were going to step forward and be better. And, you know, and I think we've shown that to some degree. Now we need to continue to get better. I don't think it's fair to put, you know, any ceiling on it. The fact of the matter is we want to make sure that, you know, we continue to play meaningful games. And to do that, we have to continue to be better. I mean, that's the bottom line. We just have to continue to be better.
Obviously, a couple more games with Cincinnati in that ballpark. I mean, is that a hitter's park? Is it the kind of park that could maybe your guys could get on track a little bit?
I would say that, yeah, it's a hitter's park. Now, the thing that challenges all hitter's park is who's standing on the mound. And I think as we saw in our ballpark the other day in PNC when we played the Reds, I mean, they have good young pitching. So there's a lot of good young pitching in the National League Central. The Reds have it. So it is a hitter's park per se, but I think it all goes based on who's on the mound.
Shelty, one thing we hear from a lot from listeners, from fans, is concerns about inning limits with Jones and Skeens. For example, I think Jones, his career high for any year is 122. He's already up, I believe, to 86 this year. Do you guys have a number in mind for both of them in terms of inning totals?
I don't think we have a specific number in line. I mean, I think as we've said all along from, you know, the day that Jared made the team, that like we were going to be mindful of, you know, what his volume is. We've tried to get him on 6 days, sometimes on 7 days. You know, we were very careful with Paul in terms of what his buildup was going to be, you know, coming to the big leagues. And I know people were critical of that, but, you know, once he's been here, we've let him pitch. And, you know, we've let him pitch in terms of the game situations. So, you know, we have to be mindful of that because, you know, these guys are important not only for 24 but beyond. And I think everybody in our fan base would agree with that. So we are mindful of it, but I don't think we have like a, you know, hard line in the sand of where we're going to be.
I think the fear that people express is that you guys will be in it in September and that these guys will be shut down like Strasburg was 1 year in Washington. Is that in any way a legit fear?
Oh, well, I think that's why we have to be thoughtful about as we move forward how we're going to do it, you know, so we don't run into a situation like that. I think it's why we've, you know, as much as people can be critical of throwing an opener or bumping guys back or whatever, we've even done that in the interim. I mean, I think Jared's only thrown on 5 days one time. I think Paul has yet to throw on 5 days in the major league level. So just being thoughtful of like how we can, you know, kind of work through those 6 days, whether we throw in a spot starter. You know, I think we've done, what, 3 bullpen games, 4 bullpen games, with some pretty good success on it. That's the most important thing, is trying to figure out how we can build in those extra days so, you know, that doesn't happen in September.
You know, one guy that he's young, obviously, and he's coming off a major injury, but he seems to be somebody that you're sort of building a lot of what you're trying to do around is O'Neill Cruz. And he just seems to me like he's just sort of scratching the surface of what he really could be. I mean, have you seen, you know, marked progress? I mean, and do you feel like he can be that guy that you sort of have as the centerpiece of everything you're going to do the next few years?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the thing with O'Neill is we have to remember, and I think we talked about it last week, he just played in like his 162nd game. I think City Limits actually gave me that stat. You know, he's played like 170 games, and it seems like he's been here longer than that. So we have to remember that, you know, he's still a rookie, but he continues to get better. He continues to get healthier. I mean, you know, you guys saw the play he made last night on the ball Jordan hit up the middle. He continues to get better defensively, which is important for us. We still do have to monitor, you know, his health. I mean, if you guys watched the game last night, which I'm sure you did, I mean, he got slid into it second and he got hit on the leg and it stung him a little bit. So there's going to be times that we have to be mindful of that because he's coming off a major injury that no baseball player has ever had. But over the course of the first 170 games of his career, I think he's been pretty good.
When you say no baseball players ever had, what specifically made that one unique?
Oh, just the break and what they had to do to the leg. It's more of a football or basketball injury.
Mm. My last question, Shelty, is a two-parter here. One, Falter said he was tired last night. He's pitched a lot of innings. Concern level with him, what you might do about that. And also, as a bonus here, Destiny's Child was on today saying that Braxton Ashcraft may be able to help the major league team this year. Do you agree with that?
So, yeah, let's go to the first part. We moved Ash to Triple A. I think he's had 2 starts, which is really important, and he's thrown well in both of them. I mean, we've seen the breaking ball play. We've seen the fastball play. I do think he is someone that at some point this year we think can help us, which is really important. Which is one of the reasons it was important for us to get him to AAA, transition him to AAA, you know, get him a taste there. He's got to pitch with the AAA ball because the AAA ball is the same ball as the major league ball. So that's really important. So, you know, hopefully it's a situation where at some point Braxton can help us. I appreciate Destiny's Child throwing that in there. And then in Falter's case, like, yeah, I just think last night he executed really well for 3 innings and then, you know, left the ball in the middle of the plate, and you cannot do that.
Last one, I was actually going to ask you about Cruz, and also the Reds' version of Cruz. The 2 home runs they hit last night, I think both of them still haven't landed. When you see guys with that kind of power, it's got to be pretty impressive just sitting there, especially you know how hard it is to hit.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about 2 of the young, exciting players in our game, just because they can do so many things, whether it's with their legs or their glove. And last night we saw the power display. We saw both guys hit balls really far. So I think both guys are really good for the game, really exciting for the game, and really talented. But yeah, last night they both got balls pretty flush on the barrel.
Shelty, we appreciate the time. Should be another great pitching matchup tonight based on the last 2 times these guys went at it. Good luck tonight, and thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good week.
That's Derek Shelton,
yeah,
who took a lot of questions.
He did. Listen, I always respect him. He'll answer questions. Here was the thing, like, can I just tell you why I was sort of like, for like the first 5 minutes, taken aback? You know how like you do interviews with these guys? You kind of start with just like finessing them a little bit. Then you go with the fastball. You came right out of the suit with a fastball.
Yeah, like, I had to.
I'm like, this show might be over before it starts.
I'll give Shelty. Shelty takes all the questions, man.
Hey, listen, he's great.
People might not like some of the answers. Right.
And you listen. And you and listen. I you certainly asked all the tough questions in that interview. You did. And I was just like in awe of the fact that you were firing fastball after fastball, and he was answering them.
Yeah, he answered.
And he didn't get like angry about it. He didn't get, you know, upset about it. He didn't get emotional. He didn't say, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about." And you know, I thought we had some really good discussions about the hitting in general. I think, you know, the young player development and what some of the issues are that's going on there. I think it, and he was honest and said, a lot of us don't really have answers right now.
And that might be a problem for Andy Haynes. I mean,
right.
Like when Shelty said, I don't know that it's fair to, you know, put the blame on him. I think the respectful but obvious answer there was, well, why not? I mean, Andy Haynes' job description, literal right. job description, is to make hitters better. And they're getting worse, even in the context of the hitting struggles across Major League Baseball. The Pirates are struggling worse than most.
Right.
And that's just a fact.
Well, and again, I think that's the larger point that you made that I thought was, you know, a good, really good point, is that even though everyone's bad, you're at the bottom part of bad, which, by the way, I guess we should point out that your guy brought us some of this solo pizza.
This guy's a genius.
The solo
Phil
pizza,
Spanos.
The wood-fired pizza cart, Phil Spano. Thank you so much for bringing us some pizza here today. And, of course, this is the wood-fired pizza that you can – it's actually a cart.
Yeah, this guy, he travels around. He's like Bingo Long in the Traveling All-Stars, except it's Phil Spano in the Traveling Pizza Oven. Yes, this guy's a miracle worker.
And the pizza's tremendous.
Did IT try this back there? Yeah, he liked it, I bet, huh? IT, your one-word response to all this would be what?
It was fantastic.
Fantastic.
That's three words. That's unbelievable. Yeah, yes. Phil Spano and the pizza. Let's play back some of what Shelty said there. His job security, Andy Haynes' job security. What's happening with Jack Sawinski? A lot of this stuff was interesting. We'll play it back. It's 12:30. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. Michael McHenry, top of the hour. Man, let's ask him about declining offense in baseball. And I wanted to make it clear with Shelty, and I think in general, Paul, that it's absolutely no excuse for what we're seeing here in Pittsburgh. So let's be clear about that. But it is a fact that hitting,
it's way down.
All the benchmarks are headed for historic lows.
Right. Terrible.
And I think, I mean, there's an obvious reason. The pitching's better. That's just the fact of it. And I would strongly suggest you read the story to everybody out there, I'm talking, by Jason Stark, because he interviews a ton of major leaguers.
Yeah.
Yelich is quoted high up saying, listen, and I'm paraphrasing, this isn't a mystery. You can no longer sit on a bad pitch. A lot of it is technology, by the way. Used to be a guy had a pitch that people would sit on, you know, you're 3-1, I'm sitting on this, I know this guy's going to throw it here. He doesn't throw it anymore. Because they break down every single pitch that you have in your arsenal. And if one ain't working, if they're sitting on one, you just don't throw it anymore. Nobody sits on 3-1 fastballs anymore. First of all, there's 19 different kinds of fastballs that all these guys control. Then on top of that, they've reached the point where as a hitter, if Paul Zeiss comes to the plate, I know going into the game based on my scouting report where he's put the ball in play every single time in his career. All 987 bats I can study, and I know most of the time when he ropes a double, it's to left center, and I know the exact same spot, and I've got my outfielders playing there. Yelich and those guys mentioned that as well, Paul. So yeah. I don't think it's a mystery why this is happening. Here's my question to you. Because I think there's an obvious answer. And I forgot to ask Shelty. I had it written down. Would you move back the mound in Major League Baseball? I would.
Well, there's another factor, though. That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
And it's how they're grooming hitters these days.
Yes.
You know, there's such an emphasis. Again, I was actually talking to two different guys I know that are in the industry.
Yeah.
That do it for a living. And they're like, if you watch a lot of these guys, there's such an emphasis on launch angles and everything else that they all have, a lot of these younger guys, they all have easily exploitable flaws in their swing. And so, you know, it's almost like the pendulum has to swing back a little bit to valuing batting average again. Because nobody now, if you talk to these guys now in baseball, well, we don't care about batting average. Well, you know, OPS is all that really matters to us, and you know, we want a guy to be able to drive the ball, because it's unrealistic to string three or four hits together in an inning because it's so hard to hit. Well,
right.
You know what? It's really hard to string three hits together in an inning when everybody is swinging, you know, and has a bad swing and they're all striking out. I mean, it's not a good thing when you see, again, a guy like Gonzalez should never have 20-1 strikeout to walk ratio. Because, yeah, he's got a little power and he can drive the ball, but he's a guy that should be trying to actually hit the ball the other way. And you know what? One of the things that Shelton said that was true, that I agree with, is, hey, you got to be creative maybe to try and score some runs. If that means sacrifice bunting, you know, squeeze, suicide squeezes, whatever. That kind of small ball mentality has completely gone out of the game.
I agree
with
you.
And so I want to make it clear. I definitely agree that the combination, our pitchers are better, there's more velocity, there's more technology, all that stuff is in play as well. But another part of it is how they're developing hitters. And to me, the two things combined have led to a place where, you know, it used to be like you were a little bit scorned if you had more than like 100 strikeouts in a season. And now you regularly see guys with 200, 250, and nobody bats an eye because it's strikeout or home run mentality. It's like, well, we're not going to be able to string together two or three hits. And you know, you go back to the whole bunting thing. I thought about it last night. And, you know, yes, you can have bigger innings if you swing away. But if you get a guy at third, if I'm a manager, I'm sorry, if I get a guy to third,
yeah,
and I've got one of my 150 hitters or 130 hitters or 120 hitters, or you know what I mean, all these guys that are horrific, I'm laying down a bunt almost every time. And I'm just saying, listen, just get it on the ground. And I'm telling my guy from third, you know, get a good jump and let's try and score a run. Because that's better than him striking out or hitting into a double play and ending the inning, you know what I mean? At least you have a chance to move some guys forward and score some runs. And I think that was one of the things I liked about what Derek Shelton did say was, hey, I got to be more creative and try to create offense. So it's a two-pronged problem, Joe, and I don't know that there's an easy answer. And the other part of it is, you know, like Shelton said, anybody that's got that hard velocity like that, they're pushing them to the majors. So these minor league hitters aren't getting a chance to see these guys enough, you know, to get ready for the majors.
All that is totally valid. Yeah, what those people told you, I believe. But we'll ask McHenry coming up here about hitting approaches, about why we're looking at historic lows. Having said that, it still doesn't excuse the Pirates. But back to the topic, why not move back the mound? Here's what I don't get about pro sports a lot, is the total lack of adjustment to changes, natural changes that occur over time. Like the size of the athletes and the speed, like the size and changes in technology to the equipment. Like, all right, we've reached a flashpoint again, like we did in 1968, I think, and they lowered the mound. Pitchers were too dominant. Why can't they move it back a foot? Why hasn't basketball or hockey? I look at hockey. The players are twice the size they were in 1970 and twice as fast, but we still have the same size rink. Goalie equipment, go look at a goalie in a game from the 80s. He looks naked compared to what they have now.
Yeah.
Why isn't the net bigger? Basketball, same size of the court, same size of everything. Football, the same thing. It's like, is it the sacredness of the numbers they don't want to be compromised? Like, why don't sports adjust to things like this? Baseball did in a radical way when it lowered the mound.
Right.
I like that. Basketball did back, in a way when it instituted the three-point line. But what about moving it back?
So if you move it back, say you moved it back 2 or 3 feet, you think that would – then you I think that could work. The only thing is then you'd have to have – you would probably have at least half a season with a zillion walks because pitchers would have to try and readjust what they're throwing and when their pitches are breaking and all that stuff.
I wonder how far back would make a significant difference. I'm going to ask McHenry about that coming up at the top of the hour.
If they moved it, what if they moved it back and made it lower?
Now you're talking. It's the same thing. The goals in hockey, the nets, I've never understood why they aren't bigger. Why shouldn't they be bigger?
Aren't goalies' equipment and goalies themselves a lot bigger nowadays than they used to be?
Yes.
So.
And I think it's because, then a 50-point, 50-goal season won't mean as much as it did. You'll screw up all the numbers. Well, who cares, first of all? Secondly, that's already the case. You have 3-on-3 overtimes, for God's sakes. They didn't have that in the 70s. You have technology with the sticks and things like that that make it a totally different game anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say that, if you think about it, if the goalies are bigger, the pads are wider. I mean,
chest protectors bigger, gloves bigger, blockers bigger.
My point is, it's probably going to balance out if you make the net a little bit bigger.
Yes,
and I think the other part of that is if you really look at it from that standpoint, like, well, if you made the net a little bit bigger, it would help with scoring, right?
Which is what people like.
But here's the other thing. And we're going to talk about the hockey game, I'm sure, later in the show. But one of the things that drives me absolutely insane about hockey nowadays, I would love to see a rule that says if you leave your skates and go down on the ice to block, because guys block shots now, it's a two-minute penalty. I hate that.
Well, let's talk about something for a minute.
We could, but I'm just saying, like, that to me has become as big of a problem as the size of the net and the you know what I'm saying? Like,
game last night, it had a certain tenseness because it was game 7. It was a lousy hockey game.
It was terrible. But my thing is, everyone was going on and on about Bobrovsky and what a great job he did in the third period. I'm thinking to myself, how many of those shots actually got to him?
He didn't make a difficult save the whole night.
Not one. Most of those shots, especially the ones that were like there was that one right in front of the net with McDavid, where McDavid turned and and looked like he had a chance to score. The guy came in from behind and poke checked it out of his. Bobrovsky had no idea where the puck was.
Yeah,
and there was a number of those shots that guys were just diving on the. And listen, I get it. Listen, I get it. It's desperation time. You are doing everything you can do. You're sacrificing your body, all that kind of stuff. To me, I think it would be a really easy rule change to say, if you're going to block shots, you got to do it from your skates. You can't dive. You can't leave your skates. You can't be on the ice. We had a wall of humanity laying in front of the goal.
I know. I thought it was fitting that the Cup final in Game 7 ended with 20 guys in the corner all on top of each other with the puck underneath them. That was the scrum. There wasn't even a shot at the end of the game. The best defensive team won. Credit to them, I guess, but it wasn't much of a hockey game, if you ask me.
Right.
I like some up and down action. I think that's the beauty of the game. And then you extend it to baseball. Yeah, people like offense in baseball too, and it's dying. For all the changes they've made too to benefit offense, it's not working. So I don't take it lightly that a radical change like moving the mound back, I would only say under dire circumstances. I think we've reached that point. I really do. Where the pitchers are just too good. Just like 1968.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like I said, I think that's a problem. Since you said this a few minutes ago here, I've been thinking about this moving the mound back thing. So if I'm throwing at 99 miles an hour, right, or 100 miles an hour, let's say we move it 3 feet back and lower it, 3 more inches. How much longer do you think you have to look at that as a hitter? You know what I mean? I'm throwing 100 miles an hour from I'm throwing 100 miles an hour from 3 feet back and 3 inches lower. Is it like another half second that you'll see the pitch?
An eternity for a hitter,
right?
A split second, right. But it's not just the velocity; it's everything else, like Shelty was
saying, the movement and all that. But I'm just saying, like, I'm wondering if there has been any kind of study that would suggest, okay, so. And I forget what the mound is. Is it 90 feet or 60 feet?
60 feet, yeah.
60 feet, 66. 6 inches?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a study that says, well, if we move the mound to 64 feet, 6 inches, it means that hitters will have X amount of time longer to see a pitch. And that would lead to X amount, you know what I mean? Like,
Let's ask Michael McHenry about that. Coming up next, the perfect guest to have on the Pirates' struggles on offensive deficiency at the major league level all around the league, but particularly here, I would say, maybe a couple other places. We'll talk to McHenry about that next. He's great on all this stuff. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's 12:53. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency at Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. Yeah, let's talk to McHenry for a bit. We'll play some of Shelton about his job security, about Andy Haynes' job security. Thought those were two interesting topics with Shelty. And then talk about Connor McDavid and the Conn Smythe. Was he a deserving winner? We haven't even gotten around to that with all the Pirates issues. We'll talk about that.